All right, Calvary. Now is the time the new preacher gets to preach, right? So this has been our theme for the past couple of weeks, even before I moved to Alec. See, I got that, right? So if you're visiting or you're new to Calvary today, me too. Super get it, right? I understand. And I'll tell you that being new to the church and to the community, it can be really overwhelming, if I'm honest. And preaching alongside a preacher like Pastor Hans can be kind of intimidating. I mean, this guy is good, right? Yeah. Yeah, you're here because this guy is good. He does it without notes, right? And he connects with people that have been in church for a long time and people that are new to it. And it's online. Hi, Aunt Nancy. And on the radio, this is all new stuff for me. And so I started to think about what I would preach about this week, and I started finding myself worried. I started worrying that somehow I was lacking the ability to measure up to the standard in which you all have become accustomed to. I was worried that some people might take naps during my sermon or at the late service, kids might start throwing things around. And all of this lacking self-doubt talk just made its way into my head, making me doubt my abilities and my gifts. So friends, this is what we're going to talk about today. Because don't at all times, sometimes we all feel like we are, say it with me, lacking. That experience that there is something more that you need in order to make it into this life. So this has happened to any of you. Instead of thinking about what you have, you start spending your energy on thinking about where you fall short. You've experienced this probably if you've had a job review or a report card. When I was in the first grade, I got my end of the year report card and I got to take it home with me. And I gave it to my parents. And at that school, they used standards grades. So they had like E for excellent, S for satisfactory, N for needs improvement, right? My report card had all E's except for one S minus in handwriting. Yeah, I know. And did I focus on the E's? My parents praised my E's in math and social studies and science. But I, being the firstborn child, that I am obsessed over that S minus that I got in handwriting. And so you know what I did? I practiced my handwriting the whole summer. Right? And you know what it's like because you've had a job review where you had like 10 things where you did really well and one like area for growth, right, that kept you up at night. I think we all tend to focus on what we are lacking. And besides being the preacher today, I am also the mom of four kids. So if I look tired all the time, it's because I have lacked sleep for 22 years, right? Before my second child, Mackenzie, was born, I was so worried that I lacked the capacity to love her as much as I loved my first child, Chase, that somehow my heart couldn't expand to hold both children in it. And it was just 2 weeks ago when I drove my beautiful daughter all the way to college for the first time in Washington, D.C. I know. Thanks for empathizing with me. Yeah, so in my fear and sadness and grief over not having her in my house any longer, I just wanted to squeeze every second I could out of our 2-day road trip. But for those of you who've had someone want to love you so badly, you know that that doesn't really go over well, right? Because I'm all like, Mackenzie, love me, talk to me, let's share this great, epic 2-day experience. And she's like, I need a nap. Let me Snapchat my friends. Right? So after she took a nap, I tried to relax a little bit, and I was driving, and I found myself super worried about all the things that was coming for her, and this enough talk wormed its way into my head again. Did I tell her that I loved her enough? Did I prepare her enough? Did I teach her how to cook enough? Did I tell her how to protect her body enough? Did I tuck her in at night enough? Did I pray with her enough? Did I do enough to get her ready for the adulthood she was about to start? And if I'm honest, this is the way I felt when I dropped my kids off at kindergarten too, worried and anxious, wondering if I had well enough prepared them for what they were about to do. Lynn Twist in her book, The Soul of Money, writes this, "For me and for many of us, the first waking thought that we had of the day is," say it with me, "I didn't get enough sleep." And then our next thought becomes, I don't have enough time. Whether this is true or not, the thought of not enough occurs to us automatically before we even think to question or examine it. We spend most of our day, hours of our days and our lives hearing, explaining, complaining, and worrying about what we don't have enough of. We don't have enough exercise. We don't have enough work. We don't have enough profits. We don't have enough power. We don't have enough wilderness. We don't have enough weekends. We don't have enough money, ever. Or we're not thin enough, we're not smart enough, we're not pretty enough or fit enough or educated enough or successful enough or rich enough, ever. Before we sit up in bed, before our feet even touch the floor, we find ourselves already inadequate, already behind, already losing, already lacking something. And by the time we go to bed at night, our minds race again with the list of the things that we didn't get done that day. And we go to sleep burdened by those thoughts, and then we wake up again in the reverie of lack. This song of lack, it echoes through our heads and disperses itself in our relationships. And if we're really honest this morning, it makes its way into the church too. So that's what we're going to reflect on this morning. And let's look at the Gospel of Matthew. You can look at it here, or you can look at it in your bulletin. Just then, a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" Jesus replied, "Well, there is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments." "Which one?" he inquired. Jesus replied, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and your mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "Well, all these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell your possessions and give them to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly, I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." So if you grew up in the church, you maybe know a little bit of something about the book of Matthew. But for the rest of us, Matthew is this book written in the first century specifically for the Jewish people to tell them about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So often, Matthew will talk about interactions that Jesus has with faithful Jewish people, like the rich young man in this passage. So let's talk about this man. He is a faithful man. He is a devout man. He is a good guy, just like all of you. I mean, for real, you guys are in church this morning. So good job on you. There are a lot of people over at St. Mattress right now, right? But you made it here, right? Maybe some of you are wishing you're at St. Mattress, but you're here, right? And so this good guy in Matthew is curious about Jesus, so he goes up to him and he asks him, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus, being the good teacher that he is, he challenges him on this. He says, "Why do you ask me about what is good?" You see, I think maybe Jesus knew that this young man was stuck in an old way of thinking, a way in which I think that you and I, we still get stuck in. This way where our identity becomes marked by what we accomplish. Could you keep the commandments? Could you strive for status? Could you muscle up and be perfect? Now, this man, he did just that. He rocked at achievement. And I'm not going to lie, I really like this guy. I like to be able to pull myself up by my own bootstraps and get stuff done and take names. Yeah. I mean, this guy can make a to-do list and be sure that every single one of those suckers is checked off. And then he can boast about his accomplishments. Or maybe he's more Midwestern and he's like subtly super impressed with himself, right? Does anyone else love to-do lists, right? I carry this little journal around with me all the time so I can just keep a list going. Things I need to get done, grocery lists, items to organize, ministry items, books I think I want to read, people I want to call, exercises I want to try, all in my little book. And I'll confess that sometimes I even write things down after I have done them just so I can check them off. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. So this man in Matthew, he wants to see how he can be perfect. What more can I do? You see, he's kept the commandments. He's not murdered anybody. He doesn't steal. He doesn't cheat. He doesn't lie. He loves his mom and dad and his neighbors, all done, checked off. But this still leads him to ask the question, what do I still lack? He is just like me. You see, I think he knows that something is missing because he's checked all the boxes. He's gotten all the toys and the possessions and the status, but there's still something in his gut that tells him something is missing. What do I still lack? What would make all these things that I have done enough? So Jesus encourages the young man to let go of his safety net, which is his own self-reliance. Jesus says, sell your possessions and give what you have to the poor. And he goes away sad, and I don't think I like this very much either. I think that this is hard because we, you see, are used to solving our own problems. If we're hungry, or at least if Hans is hungry, we go over to Zorba's, right? If we are sick, it's true. If we are sick, we go over to Trum Drug or to the doctor or Google WebMD and figure out what we've got, right? If we want to go somewhere, we just fill up our car with gas and we get moving. If we don't like our work, we take a loan out at Bremer Bank and we get a degree in something else. As people with resources, we sometimes just move ourselves through life instead of trusting that God is going to take care of us and provide for us through all that life throws at us. For the past couple of years, I've had the chance to travel to Ghana, West Africa with my dad, who's here. Yeah, right there. And we get to go visit our mission partners, GlobeServe Ministries, there. We love it. We visit these remote villages where people have very, very little. Very little food, no access to clean water, very little clothing. If they get sick there, there's no pharmacy to reference. Instead, the community gathers to pray over the sick person. A couple of years, my dad was there, and there was a young girl with an infected, swollen wound on her leg that was buzzing with flies. My dad asked if he could use his first aid kit to dress the wound, and the pastor said, no need, Papa Jim. Jesus will heal it. My dad insisted, no, really, it'll be okay. It's just some clean water and some bandages and some Neosporin. And the pastor said, no need, Papa Jim. Jesus will heal it. And my dad kind of looked at him, and the pastor continued. He said, you see, Papa Jim, last week the girl couldn't walk. But we came together and we prayed, and now she walks. God will take care of this too. I mean, for me, I am grateful for the Western medicine. And when I got to visit Dr. Ditburner with my sick daughter last week, but when I think about that story, I find that kind of trust amazing and humbling. But I think for most of us, like the young man in the gospel, we hold on to our stuff. We hold on to our accomplishments, our accolades, and our degrees because we are convinced that somehow we will need it for something. The rich young man goes away sad because his whole life of striving, doing, achieving, and accomplishment has left him to come up empty. His whole to-do list is checked off, and it doesn't seem to matter too much to Jesus. You see, I think this sermon gets mispreached too often, not, of course, by Pastor Hans, but I think often we get the wrong image of it. It gets interpreted into this, the rich aren't going to heaven kind of thing. And it can become an attack on the rich. And just last week, Pastor Hans reminded us that we are the rich. But I think what Jesus is saying here is way more than being about possessions and wealth. The point of this is that the kingdom of heaven, it's not something you can bid for. It's not something you can buy. It's not something you can earn. So if that's the case then, you're hustling for worth, my hustling for worth. You're hustling for value, for enoughness. I don't know if that's a word. What is that for? And the disciples, they wondered this too. And they look at Jesus on this day in shock. And they ask, well, then who can be saved? If we can't earn it, then what's it for? For this guy, he kept all the commandments. He's got his stuff together. He's like the best of the best. And if he's walking away sad, then who is the kingdom of heaven for? Who can achieve it? Who can earn it? I mean, the disciples, they've been following around Jesus for years. So surely their efforts should be rewarded. But with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. In December of 2017, my mom was dying with complications of brain cancer. And when she had just 48 hours left, we had this really special, beautiful moment. You see, she knew she was going to die. And she looked at me and she was scared. My mom was the most devout Christian her whole life, and now she laid there dying, and she was worried about what was coming next. She wondered about heaven. And she looked at me and she said, "Angie, what if I didn't do enough?" And this blew my mind because I couldn't possibly imagine any human being having done more. My mom was faithful always. She read her Bible daily. She made sure her kids were dressed nice and in the second pew. She loved the Lord. She served on a million volunteer projects and donated all her time. My heart broke as my beautiful, faithful, giving mama humbly, humanly worried that she hadn't done enough. So I looked at her and I said, "Mom, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." You see, friends, with God, all things are possible. You are enough, not because of anything that you have done, but you are enough simply because Jesus is enough. And you are worthy because Jesus is worthy. And you lack nothing because Jesus' love for you. Jesus does this amazing thing after loving you in this life. That is not just good enough for him, that he goes to the cross to die so that he can continue to love you into the next life and forever. And if you hear nothing else today, now is the time for you to hear that. Now is the time for you to realize how deeply loved and valued you are by the God of the universe. Now is the time for you to hear that you are loved and valued no matter what you do or what you don't do. Now is the time for you to let go of those worries, for you to let go of that safety net, for you to let go of your need of control, for you to let go of your need for answers and rest in the love of the Savior who would do anything for you. Here at Calvary, 2 weeks ago, we launched the Now is the Time appeal to expand our building and bring more people into a lifelong faith in Jesus Christ so that we together can remind all people that they are not lacking and that Jesus loves them. And our theme verse for this campaign is Psalm 119:90. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You see, friends, God can build this building. God can do this without you and without me, but God invites us into it. He invites us to trust him. He invites us into this message of freedom and love for future generations. God says to us, give up your safety net and trust that God has got you and will walk with you through this. And I want my children to know that they don't have to strive for their worthiness, that they don't have to get a bunch of possessions or trophies or accolades to know that they are enough, that they don't have to be perfect to have value. I want my kids to know that Jesus has made them worthy beyond anything they could wrap their minds around, and that Jesus has freed them from their sin and the grave, and Jesus makes the impossible possible. Friends, God is calling us, and now is the time for us to ensure that all people can hear this message in Alexandria and online and on the radio and just everywhere we can possibly tell them. Friends, my husband Ryan and I just did this. God said, now is the time, and we moved to Alexandria, Minnesota. And people think we're a little crazy to have done that. It required a map for us to show our friends and family in Des Moines where Alexandria was. Our parents are there, and my favorite only brother was there, all in Des Moines. We're actually farther away from our adult children, Chase and Mackenzie. We're selling a house that we built and designed, and it's hard. But God said to us, now is the time, Larsons. Now is the time for you to trust me. And you all, Calvary, you have welcomed us in the most beautiful, surprising, wonderful ways these past 3 weeks, and we are immensely grateful. Calvary, now is the time. Now is the time for you to trust that you lack nothing, and because you lack nothing, You have so much to give. Please pray with me. Lord God, we thank you for the work of Jesus, which transforms us from the old way of thinking, of achievement, of striving that leads us lacking, to the new life offered through your Son that reminds us that we are loved and we are worthy and we are enough. Help us to take this message with us today and share it with all the world who desperately need to hear it. In your Son's worthy, worthy name. Amen.